All right, everyone, welcome to the Life of the Brother Man podcast. This is your host, Ahmed Chima, and I'm here with your co-host, Jeremy Lewis. Jeremy, how are you doing today?
Life is good. What's going on, Ahmed?
Good, good. Before we get started, I just want to say I talked to you on the phone like 20 minutes ago, and I was so full of energy. And just to give you guys some context, we've been trying to plan this out for a month now. It's been over a month since our last episode, right? So we recorded one episode, and every week we've been trying to put something together. So finally we got this time, and I'm excited and I'm energized. And I called Jeremy, and he's like, I need 5 minutes. I'm thinking in my head, like, this guy's got some emergency to take care of, because we just talked about it. He's texting me. He's like, I'm good to go. I'm thinking, like, there must be something really important that just happened, right? And so I'm sitting here. As I'm sitting here waiting for Jeremy to answer the phone, I'm losing my energy. Like, I'm just getting drained. Like, I'm sitting at my desk waiting, and I'm just like, dang, like, I don't know if I can do this today. Then finally, I get a call from Jeremy. Turns out, this man went downstairs to watch the Lakers game. This guy.
You got to watch the Lakers. You got to support LeBron.
Come on, man. Like, we've been trying to set this up for a month.
But, hey, poetry in motion. Let's roll with it. I'm down. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Now I do feel energized now that we actually did get started. So let's get right into it. So to the listeners that are just tuning in for the first time, we did release an episode before this. It was a private release, something we were testing out just to get some feedback and understand how we can get better. If there's actually, if we're actually good at this, you know, sometimes we have an idea in our head that we're amazing, and then we put it out in the world, and it turns out we're not so great. So we did a test run, and so this is technically episode two. And one of the things that we kept getting asked after episode one was, what the heck is Life of the Brother Man? So Jeremy, I'm gonna kick it over to you. Like, what is, let's start with the Brother Man. Like, I have my own definition, but I'm gonna let you have your own definition. I'm gonna let you have a moment. Like, what is a Brother Man to you?
And definition of Jeremy Lewis, of course. the definition of a brother man would be somebody who's genuine to themselves, right? And that comes with experience. That comes with just tenure in life. And it's no replacement for experience in life, right? And as we navigate relationships, as we navigate careers, as we navigate our day-to-day cadence, that helps mold and build us as a person of who we are today, right? So Life of the Brother Man embodies everything from understanding who you are, understanding how to conduct yourself in a career orderly fashion, as well as in your personal life. So when we talk about Life of the Brother Man, it comes down to setting yourself up for success ultimately based off prior experiences, right? And I always speak in hindsight in regards to, if I could speak to myself, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, what would I have to say to myself based off the experiences that I've had the opportunity to encounter since that time frame? So with that being said, Life of the Brother Man is ensuring that you understand the importance of being true to yourself and the value of relationships on a day-to-day basis.
I just want to say that was not rehearsed. That, like, we never talked about that. So Jeremy,
actually,
that was
spot, man. I'm going to talk to you about that post session, by the way.
The definition I had in my head, I think you summed it up way better than I ever could, even though I would take claim. I would say that I came up with this phrase. So even then, that definition, I think, summed up everything that I had to say about it. The only thing that I would add is, when I think of a brother man, a couple examples come to my mind. Number one is Malcolm X. So if you've read the autobiography of Malcolm X, one of the characteristics you notice immediately about the way he's telling his life story is that he's very generous with his wisdom and his knowledge, right? So he has gained these experiences, just like in this podcast where Jeremy, you've gained this experience, or I'm trying to gain this experience, right? And so I'm trying to share this stuff, and you're sharing this stuff. And the goal is to be generous with what we've learned. And just one example that comes to mind right off the top of my head, because I was reading the book not too long ago, is, I don't know if you remember this, Jeremy, but when he was a kid, they would go rabbit hunting. You remember this?
I do.
So they would go rabbit hunting, and him and his friends, they found out a way that, like, I don't remember exactly what happened, but they noticed that the rabbits, after they were like chased by a dog, they would end up circling back in the same area every single time. So what they would do is, instead of trying to chase rabbits, they would just find that spot where they would come back to, and they would just get the rabbits there. So him and his friends caught like three times the rabbits that everyone else caught. And all the people are thinking, like, wow, these guys are like rabbit catching prodigies. Like, these are legends. And what he's in that moment, he said, anytime you see someone that's doing better than you and they're in the same business as you, know that they're doing something different. Right. And that's what Life of the Brother Man is like, giving these insights through our experiences. Right. And making sure that if we've learned something, we're not just taking it, keeping it for ourselves, bottled up inside of us, but we're sharing it with all of our beloved listeners, right? All two of them.
Two and a half.
Yeah. And the other example that pops in my mind, also from Malcolm X, is on the other end of the spectrum. So at one point in his life, he was a robber. And what he says is, the best way to protect yourself from a robbery is to keep your bathroom light on. And like, even though that is an experience that, like, if I was a robber, I don't think I'd be sharing any experience, because I wouldn't want anyone to learn that I'm a robber. You know what I mean? But sharing that, because that might benefit the end user, right? That is a brother man for me, right? So now that we've established what a brother man is there anything you want to add to that concept, Jeremy?
I kind of like your definition a lot more than mine. It was a lot, you know, it was a lot more in depth and thorough.
I just gave examples.
Not to compare, but just saying.
I just gave examples, right? I didn't give a definition.
Yeah. You painted a picture very vividly. Shout out to you for that.
All right. Next, what I wanted to really just get into this episode, we want to keep these as short as possible. So the topic for today is feedback loops. And to the listeners, I want to just shed some light on how we decided on this topic. So we created this episode and we put it out to the world, not to the world, to some of our friends, and we asked for their feedback. And we started noticing that the feedback we got, we didn't see ourselves, right? So for example, one of the things that I do when Jeremy's speaking a lot. So in the last episode, like when Jeremy was speaking, he was saying something deep. I would just go, And I can't contain myself. When I'm feeling something, I just say it, right? And it just comes out. And I didn't realize that my mic was set up in a way that when I was saying that, it would just cut Jeremy off, right? So what we did from that feedback was that we both got new mics. Now, hopefully you guys will be the judge of this, but when we put this out, hopefully we fix that. And this episode will be better, because I'm sure there'll be moments in this episode where I say, and I don't want to cut off Jeremy, but at the same time, I'm not going to contain my, you know, my excitement when Jeremy's saying something deep. You know what I mean? So we decided, because we're going through this right now, let's talk about feedback loops. So Jeremy, I'm going to kick it off to you right now. The first question I have for you is, why are feedback, like, I think everyone understands that feedback is important, right? But why is it so important in business? Like, if I'm at work, why are feedback loops so important? Like, I may be a manager of people, right? Why is feedback important for me?
Well, Ahmed, perception is everything. You know, naturally, we are all inclined to be biased towards our actions, right? Biased towards our own decisions. I mean, that's what makes us who we are. Naturally, we all have good intentions. All have good intent as far as doing the right things. However, our definition, it's subjective, ultimately. Our definition of doing the right thing may be in contrast or maybe the opposite of actuality, right?
Hold on. Can I stop you right there? I don't think I'm I think you just went way too deep. You gotta slow down here. All right, you said perception is everything. Now you're saying our definition of who we are is subjective, or our definition of what's right is subjective?
Our definition of what's right is subjective.
So because the actions we take, you're talking about.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because here's the thing, you know, when we talk about perception, as related, you know, to answer your question, you know, I'm going to get back to your question, I promise you. you know, when we talk about perception of how we're perceived by others, right? You know, naturally we're inclined to act out of goodwill, act out of positive instinct with positive intentions of doing right. However, perception of our audience, you know, and we speak about this often in regards to knowing your audience, right? Mm. Knowing your audience, not necessarily tailoring your message directly to your audience, but understanding a way to connect with your audience and still not lose value of your message. So perception is rated on a scale in regards to your ability to influence. And we talk very so often about earning trust, right?
Okay, dude, you're going, wow. Can you just say that again?
You know, when we talk about, you know, perception in regards to earning trust, that's how, you know, when we talk about, so I enjoy anonymous feedback, you know, Ahmed. I enjoy anonymous feedback because I like when people give me candid, genuine feedback that they don't feel like they have to, sugarcoat, because regardless of the outcome, I can't trace it back. You know, it could be cowardly move, you know, on behalf of, you know, some people, but all in all, it's value added. Anything I do out of life, any action we take, every decision we make, naturally we should be inclined. I'm not saying we all are, but we should try and target a way to harness and figure out a way, what's the value added, right? And as we're talking about being receptive to feedback and understanding the influence is only measured by the perception of our audience. So regardless of what we say and regardless of how we feel about something, our ability to influence and the perception of our audience is what truly helps guide and navigate any kind of point or subject that we're driving home. So when you talk about a feedback loop, it incorporates our ability to influence.
So I wasn't even thinking about it in terms of influence. So I think you just opened the doors of a lot of different conversations.
Come on in.
One of the things that I just remembered is there's this saying that you can't smell your own feces, right? So when you go in the bathroom, right, there's like, you know how it is, right? People take their phones in there, they're taking a dump. And for us that are in there, and this might be a little bit of a, example that might not be the prettiest, but like, you know, we can't smell how bad we smell. You know what I mean? Like, it's only when the next person comes in, they're like, oh my goodness, what happened in here? You know what I mean? We're just chilling in there. We'd be there in there half an hour, just scrolling through our Instagram, YouTube, whatever it is. But we can't see our own flaws, right? And I think what you said really hit the nail on the head, where perception is everything, right? And we can't, like, our definition of what's right or our definition of the actions we're taking, that's subjective, right? And if we don't understand how people are perceiving what we're doing, then, you know, we're sitting in the bathroom, you know, stinking it up, and we're thinking we're doing a good job. You know what I mean?
Guilty as charged.
And so the next question I have, I want to get into the influence thing, but there's a lot of other things as well. So one of the things, let's bring it back to the most practical aspect of this, right? So feedback loops, like one of the things that I see, let me back up. I'm going to give you the question first and I'm going to give you an example. Okay.
So bring it.
How do you effectively give feedback? Right. So there's two examples of this. How do I give feedback to someone that is under me in the hierarchy, the organizational hierarchy? And then how do I give feedback to someone that is above me in the hierarchy? Right. How do I tell my boss that they're really bad at, you know, motivating the team, or whatever the case may be, right? A lot of times you see people are just soft, right? And then people like me who are coming out of college who haven't had the experience of having to give feedback to people that are maybe, you know, twice their age, it can be a daunting task. Oh my goodness, I just remember this example. And I think you did such a good job. I don't want to mention any names or anything like that, but when we were both in Cleveland, there was a time where one of the workers in our area was smelling bad, and I was not ready for that conversation. Do you remember this?
It's happened a few times, but I would imagine I probably handled it very similar to, or consistently anyway.
Can you, okay, so let's say blank slate, right? Let's say you have an associate who smells bad. It's hot, it's summer, and they're sweating, they're working hard. How do you handle that conversation? How do you give them that feedback?
The first thing I'm always mindful of, Amit, you know, when we talk about approach, it comes down to tact, right? And kind of circles back to an earlier point in regards to knowing your audience, understanding the why. I'm always about, you know, explaining the why, as opposed to, hey, you stink, wear deodorant, do better next time. You know, let's take a step back. Let's shed light on the reality of the current situation. Let's put a game plan in place to, and the importance, and shed light of the importance of why we should, you know, maintain hygiene and how it affects and influences those around us, right? As it applies to personal hygiene. So, you know, person A, person B, whatever, whoever it is, the message will be consistent. However, the verbiage may vary just based on the audience. And I say all that to say, I would connect with the person directly in regards to explaining why it's important to maintain hygiene, the impacts of the surrounding area or the department as a whole, and also just kind of, you know, keep people in good spirits. I mean, a lot of times, you know, when we deliver a message, you know, we always come with a, you know, it's often looked upon as an iron fist, like, boom, do this because I said so. Hey, let's take a second. Let's talk about it. You know, it's not about trying to embarrass anybody. By all means, I've been there before. We all been there before. Anybody who's listening has been there before. Whether you want to admit it or not, we've all been there before. However, the importance of shedding light on it is for self-improvement, right? So let's take a second, self-reflect, figure out a game plan or put an action in place in regards to, in this case, I think I recall if they did not choose to wear deodorant for whatever reason, by all means, you know, we have restrooms, you know, we have access to soap in our facilities, and you can bring an extra t-shirt if need be. There are different, you know, you can navigate barriers in different ways, right? You know, if an excuse is I'm not wearing deodorant, all good. You know, we have access to soap.
So theoretically, I understand what you're saying. And I think theoretically it makes sense. But can we run through an example? Like, let's say I'm the one that smells bad, right? And you got to have this conversation with me. How would you approach it?
Hey, man, just wanted to pull you aside for a second. Just first and foremost, how are things going today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Am I in trouble?
I wouldn't. My definition of trouble may vary from yours, but I would say, no, you're not in trouble. Just wanted to shed light on something that was relayed to me. And I haven't experienced it firsthand. So just wanted to kind of touch bases and connect with you directly.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
I kind of caught the gist in regards to there was an odor from multiple sources coming from your area. So with that being said, just wanted to touch bases in regards to your personal hygiene. Is anything going on directly at home? Anything going on that we should know or shed light upon?
All right, guys, this is why he's the brother, man. You know what I mean?
It's an important question, man, because you don't want to – the approach is everything, man. Absolutely. Anytime, you know, we have these difficult conversations, Amit, what I've learned is if you have the right tact, you can say anything. You can say anything with the right amount of tact as long as you're genuine and sincere, because the purpose of this conversation is not to embarrass this individual, or in this case, it's not to embarrass you by all means. Is to help guide you in the right direction. You know, when we talk about influence as a brother, man, let's talk about the value of this conversation. The value of the conversation is to ensure that your hygiene is adequate to your personal standards. By all means, you know, when we talk about perception, you're perceived right now as having a foul odor. You know, how are we going to work around that? I want to cater to you. How can I help you?
I think there's a couple things I wanted to touch on. That you did. So there's two phrases that really, like, you just get by spending time with the brother. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have someone in your life where they show you how to have these conversations. I feel like, I don't know if you had someone in your life or you just naturally just were this good at this, but like, there's a couple things here. So number one, I want to point out that you said, I wanted to connect with you based on what I've heard, and I haven't experienced this firsthand, right? So immediately, you're kind of clarifying that, look, I'm not saying this is the truth or this is what I believe, but this is what I've heard. The second thing that you didn't mention here, and I'm sure you would have closed with this if I let you finish, was I remember very distinctly, like to this day, it sits in my mind, is how you closed that conversation. And how you closed that was you made sure to reemphasize that you divorced the behavior from the person. And you made it clear that, look, I respect you as a person. This is a behavior. This is a scent, or this is like the perception that people have of you. How can we fix this? And I think, I don't remember the phrase you used exactly, but it went something like, I wanted to have this conversation with you because I respect you too much as a man to not let you know. Do you remember saying that?
I do.
Right. And that was something where I was like, I would have never even thought about starting a conversation like that. But now seeing how you started that conversation, I was just like, it just made so much sense. Like if you talk to me like that, I would listen to anything you want to say. So when it comes back to influence, really, I think you hit the nail on the head, is you can say whatever you want if you can approach it the right way and make the person feel that you're not attacking them as a person, rather you're trying to help them out, right? And one more thing I wanted to say, there are two examples. One example that was a really good example, I remember there was an associate that we had, and I had a lot of problems with him personally. You had a really good relationship with him. And I remember one time you had to give him feedback, and he was fooling around. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And you were supposed to have a tough conversation with him. And I was like, man, I'm gonna come watch Jeremy do this. Like, I'm excited. I thought in my head that you're gonna like lay it down. Like, it's gonna be a real tough conversation. And like, I'm gonna be ready to cry just watching, you know, like out of fear. So I get there and I'm watching, and the conversation is a serious conversation, right? And it is like a tough love kind of thing. But then you ended with, I remember you said this, I've never used this myself because I felt like it wouldn't be genuine if I said it. But when you said it, it was like, wow, right? So you said, I got all the faith in the world in you, right? As you're closing, right? And after you said all the feedback that you had to give them, you were like, listen, I believe in you and you can be better, right? You can, this is a behavior we can get through, right? And I think you do these things so well. So I think like, if we could just, I think, do you remember when we were in Columbus and you gave feedback?
I've given.
Gave feedback, and then like, so it was our first experience giving negative feedback, and you were the one that was like, hey, or positive feedback, actually. It was positive feedback. And you were like, hey, I'll take care of this. I remember you crushed it. Like, I felt good just listening to what you said to the guy. And then the guy that was our mentor, remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So the guy that was our mentor, he was like, what the hell was that?
I do. I mean, when I tell you, man, so I used to be so afraid of these type conversations, man. Honestly, I was genuinely afraid, and I shied away from these conversations. I hate to use the term afraid. I would say I was more passive in regards to the handling of these conversations because I wasn't at the point of my life, or I had yet to connect with my personal self in regards to being uncomfortable. And I've learned to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm. And that's what the past several years have kind of shed light on. I love difficult conversations. And the reason I love difficult conversations is because it allows you to drive change, right? When we talk about influence, like we spoke about earlier, the greater good, you know, when we talk about the value of a conversation, when you're connecting with somebody, ultimately it comes down to a support system. And I just want to ensure that people, if I'm having a conversation with somebody, it's because I genuinely feel like we can connect for a greater good, so to speak. Have you ever had a battle when you felt like that battle's just not worth fighting, or you know, it's going to be no positive outcome out of that battle, as opposed to
So, I mean, I can't say that I have. I win every battle. But, no, I'm just kidding. Of course.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, I know you're undefeated, but for the rest of the world, you know, if you ever approach a situation, I always find the value added because, you know, so I've been self-reflecting a lot more lately than I have in my life. I've just, you know, been self-reflecting a lot more. And when we talk about like the value of things or your value system, and like even a rhetorical question, you know, when we talk about, you know, measuring success overall, you know, or how it equates to value, you know, naturally people measure success based on, you know, if you relate it to careers, based on titles, based on your position within a company, based on cars, based on money, based on tangible items, right? Mm. How many times have you heard somebody say, you know, in regards to how they measure success based on their ability or who they've helped or their influence, who they've helped? You know, this kind of circles back to your question. You know, when we talk about a support system, let's make sure we shed light and put that same energy in regards to measuring success based on who you're able to influence in a positive way, because influence is a funny area. You can influence somebody in a positive and naturally equally in a negative manner. Mm. But if you come with the right, you know, with the right tact, the right approach and the right knowledge, otherwise don't pick and fight that battle, because if you're not going to be a positive influence, it's not value added.
Mm. So don't fight that battle unless you can influence that person in a positive way.
A positive way, man. That's the only way to do it.
Man, I'm not going to lie to you, Jeremy. I had a completely different, like, agenda for what we're going to talk about today. Like, you just took it in a completely different way. And your way is way better than what I had in mind. So thank you for that. What's an agenda? Not like an agenda, but some things that I wanted to talk about, right? So, for example, I wanted to talk about, how do you have these tough conversations? And like, I want to talk more about like, people are soft nowadays, but now that you're talking about this, so I was going to frame it in the lens, like, you know, people don't want to accept feedback, but now that you're saying this, I'm realizing that maybe the problem isn't that people don't want to accept feedback. It's that we're not giving feedback the right way. What do you think about that?
Feedback the right way, I 100% agree with. And I'm sure the entire audience would agree with the approach.
Oh, 2.5 people.
2.5, man. You know, going on 3. Knock on wood. But here's the thing, man. You know, when you talk about feedback, when you talk about feedback in regards to, you know, knowing your audience per se. So a funny story. I used to have, you know, when we talk about, you know, being true to yourself or understanding yourself, it comes down to self-reflection first and foremost. Mm. You should not be in a position, you're not equipped to be in a position to help others if you aren't true to yourself. I never will forget a man, I had a college professor, and every time, you know, we only had a few tests throughout the year, roughly 4 in this semester, but I never will forget his words were consistent before every test. It was an anatomy test. So he would say, today you're taking 2 tests. And this is after the test is handed out. You know, he would always give this same speech consistently amongst every test prior to taking it. He would say, today you're taking 2 tests. The first is on anatomy. The second is on integrity.
Ooh.
And if you were to fail one of these tests, I pray that it's on anatomy. And Amir, when I tell you that struck so close to home with me in regards to integrity, staying true to yourself, learning to understand yourself first and foremost, a lot of people don't know who they are. And that's the thing. You know, I'm still working on it. And I have no shame in saying that. I'm still, naturally, we should be growing on a day-to-day basis. Our external, there are external factors that influence how we navigate relationships, how we navigate through our day. And the person we are today should not be the same person as we are tomorrow, because otherwise we're limiting our growth. We're stunting our growth.
Absolutely.
And we have to force ourselves out of our comfort zone. Mm. And that's what I said earlier, if you recall, being comfortable, being uncomfortable, because that's the only truly way to force growth. And forcing growth is something that no external influence can do until you're able to face that challenge yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm speechless right now, man. Like this, so I'm a little bit, I want to ask you a little bit about the process of getting to know yourself, but then I also want to ask you some things about feedback loops and making sure that we're establishing feedback in our daily lives and that kind of thing. So let's start real quick with the feedback loops. And then if we have time, we'll get back to knowing yourself. So what I wanted to ask you is, I think it makes sense, and I think everyone can understand the importance of feedback loops when it comes to like improving in your business perception, influence, and all that stuff, right? So I think we've already hit that nail on the head. We've already talked through that, right? So the next thing I want to talk about is in our personal lives, and I think we can just tie this back into knowing yourself, right? So what role do feedback loops have to play in knowing yourself, right? So how can we set ourselves up? So if we begin with the assumption that we cannot truly understand who we are, then how do we set up our lives in a way that we have feedback loops and we have people telling us, hey, you're messing up here, or hey, like, this is how you should do this. Like, how do we make sure that we are growing every day, right? Because if you tell me, I feel like, you know, I'm doing things every day, I'm making progress every day, but how do I know I'm actually getting better every day?
Man, I think it starts with being receptive. And being receptive is one thing to tell yourself that you're being receptive, but to genuinely express your receptiveness to feedback, so to speak. You know, if you're having a conversation with somebody, in fact, it's more so a rhetorical question, but have you ever had a conversation with somebody and as you're speaking to them, it feels like they aren't listening. They're just waiting for you to stop speaking just so they can interject and voice their opinion.
Yeah.
And this is one of those cases, you know, when we talk about, you know, receptiveness to feedback, when someone is, you know, we all have our natural support system, you know, our close friends, those you have bonded with, those who have similar backgrounds to you, regardless of the connection, we all have our close-knit family, our close-knit friends. Those are the ones that know us to the core, right?
Yeah.
However, when we're having these conversations, we're naturally inclined, you know, when we talk about influence, we're naturally inclined to cater towards people's vision being in alignment with our vision. You know, if my favorite color is red and your favorite color is blue, it shouldn't be my decision to say, hey, Ahmed, you should like red because I like red. Here's the thing. Blue is this, blue is that, you know, red is love, red is pride, you know, red is, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people kind of struggle with as opposed to embracing the differences that we have as people, the differences that we have as humans and personalities, as opposed to embracing it, we try to incline people to have the same type of vision and mindset that we have. And that's not reality. That's not, when we talk about perception and being receptive to feedback, it comes down to understanding that we're not the tell-all, right? You know, there are other influence that could have a positive, you know, circling back to that P word, a positive influence on us. And being receptive to it is genuinely listening. You know, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. I'm always big on just kind of listening before you speak. And when you do speak, ensure that value is added and that is tact in your approach to any conversation.
I think everyone, all 2.5 people that are listening, have been through this scenario that you mentioned where, you're trying to get through someone, but instead of them listening, we're just trying to justify why we did what we did, right? Exactly. So instead of just taking it like, hey, look, you messed up. This is how you should have done something. You know, like, we're like, no, this is why I did it. Like this is, and we end up justifying even when we're in the wrong, right? And I think on that note where you're saying it starts with being receptive to feedback, if we want to grow, we have to understand that we might not always be right, right? And our perspective that we have, that like we don't have to justify everything, right? If we mess up, let's just accept that we mess up and let's get better, right? One thing on another note, I wanted to make sure that I don't go over time too much. I know you got work in the morning. So do you have a couple more minutes?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. So we'll try to close this up real quick. One of the pieces of feedback that we did get was we should try to recap at the end. Now that we've been through this episode, I think it'd be a little bit tough to recap. What do you think, Jeremy?
It would be somewhat tough, but I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but hey, one thing real quick, man, you know, I always, you know, when we talk about influence, I was thinking about this earlier, but I didn't want to cut you off just to interject and share my opinion. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, outer influences and experiences, I never will forget. Well, let me give a background. So growing up, you know, the exit to my parents' home, there was in Ahmed, I promise you, there was a homeless guy in the corner. Every time we took the exit, it was the same guy, like elementary through high school. Like this guy literally made a living on the corner asking for change. So my perception of homeless people were that they're making a living off of, you know, whether it's change, whether it's food, whatever, whatever the case may be. My perception of homeless people evolved around one person, around one man who influenced me just because of that's who I saw on a daily basis. So, and I kind of kept this, and that kind of, you know, was embodied in me throughout, you know, my childhood, middle school, high school, you know, college years. And now, so recently, when I first arrived to Boston, I never will forget this, Ahmed, because my perception of homeless people were, you know, what I just told you. I was walking down to, you know, grab a bite to eat. And on my way back, I was in a hotel at the time. I just moved up. On my way back to my hotel, I recall a homeless guy came to me and asked me if I had change. And, you know, my natural instinct was just inclined to say, regardless if I had, you know, cash in my pocket, change in my pocket. Honestly, I didn't at this time. But regardless if I did, if I didn't, it was a natural response to say, I don't have any cash. Just because of what I've seen from past experiences and past influences from one individual. So when I told this guy this, I never will forget this, Ahmed. I cannot make this up. I never will forget this. I told this guy, I don't have any change, as I naturally did. I didn't even have to think about it. And I kind of kept walking. Then he was like, well, hey. And so I stopped walking for a second and he held a cup up, a cup full of change. It was like a transparent cup full of change, you know, combination of all coins, dollar bills included. He would say, well, hey, do you need some?
Wow.
And Ahmed, I froze for a second because I'm thinking, is this guy offering me money after asking me for money? Because my natural response was that I had no cash. However, as a return of it, he's genuinely trying to reach out and help me. So at that point, that struck close to home with me. You know, when we talk about perception of people, and allowing one person to have an influence of how you view. In this case, you know, you can't, you know, if you put, you know, like I just did in the past, I put all homeless people in a box. All homeless people just, you know, wanted to thrive off of, because for, you know, 10, 12 years, I saw one guy like literally make a living off of one corner, asking for change, asking for food. But I say all that to say that when you talk about perception and influence, we have to think at a higher level, at an aerial level, as opposed to a granular level in regards to the scope of our relationships. But yeah, that was, I wanted to
expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you mean by taking a little bit of a higher level?
Because naturally so when we talk about our personal biases, right? And you know, we all have personal bias. It means just how the brain is wired. Our biases are catered towards our past experiences. And based off my, you know, keeping it relevant, based off my past experiences of homeless people, of a homeless person, singular to be specific, I allow that influence to cater towards, hey, this one person had the ability to allow a conceived notion as far as all homeless people are just looking for money, an easy way out, as opposed to some homeless people are genuinely just on hard times. Some homeless people, genuinely are looking for help for the positive good. You know, we always want to relate to, you know, you give a homeless person $1, $2, they're going to use it for drugs and alcohol. Not always the case. That's not always reality. It's perception based off some people's past experiences. However, at a higher level, based off of my most recent encounter, off the scenario in which I just spoke about, as far as the guy in return, after I told him that I had no cash, he turned around and offered me money. That kind of shed light. It opened up a whole nother door in regards to my.
It just shattered that whole box, man. It took a box cutter and it was like.
And I was ashamed to admit, I'm telling you, man, it's one of those things where, and this, you know, it encompasses a lot, but you're right, man. It's one of those things that it struck close to home just based off of how you allow one person to influence your view or perception of a specific criteria, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good place to close. I would be remiss to ask this. I had this question in my mind, but then it slipped away and then it came back, so I wrote it down. And so one of the things you established was that connecting with people is the most important part of feedback. So if we want our feedback to be effective, right? If we want people to actually take what we're saying, we have to make sure that we connect with people, right? That's just briefly summarizing what you said in the beginning. So the question is, how do we then connect with people? And not just how do we connect with people, but when we're in the work environment and you have to give feedback to someone that you've never met before, or someone that you've maybe just kind of briefly just said, hey, what's up? How's it going? Right? You haven't had deep conversations with, right? How do you quickly connect with people and make them feel appreciated and that you're there to help them, right? And I want a little bit of the higher level of how you do it, and then also practically, like if I hadn't met someone and I had to give them feedback, how would I do that, right? How would I quickly connect? What are the things to remember when connecting with people?
I mean, people are people.
And let's just stop it right there.
Drop the mic. So people are people, man. And I say all that to say, people want to genuinely feel like you know, when we talk about a support system, right? When we talk about, you know, caring for somebody, people want to know that you genuinely care for them, as opposed to just being a number, as opposed to just being an operator of a craft, so to speak. If you can approach somebody, and I challenge people to do this as well, approach somebody and just connect on a small thing, you know, beyond your name, you know, what's your background? Where are you from? You know, what's your household like? Just kind of find small, you know, what are your hobbies? And you can always circle back a minute. Let's say I'm meeting somebody for the first time, you know, beyond introducing myself in regards to our name, where are you from? You know, what's your family life like? You know, what are your hobbies? Let's say, you know, this guy says, yes, I have a son. He's 7 years old. He plays baseball. Great. I'm not even a huge baseball fan, Ahmed, but I love sports. So I'm naturally inclined to ask this guy about baseball. You know, tell me more about your son. Take interest, genuine interest, because people can detect fake, man. People can detect fake. And you got to
people have really good BS meters.
For sure. Rightfully so. We all should. And if you don't, I highly recommend it, because it's the thing, man, you know, because I'm naturally inclined, because we all have different motivating factors, you know, different things make us tick. And when you talk about how you can gain influence, how you can earn trust amongst your team, it comes down to taking time and investing that time and energy and effort into getting to know your team. Once you get to know your team, you can understand what makes your team tick. Once you learn what makes your team tick, you can help drive and navigate future conversations and cater it towards the greater being, right? When we talk about a higher level. But so if I were to walk away from this guy and not see him for a week, 2 weeks, a month, Ahmed, I can always circle back and say, hey, how's your son? How was his baseball game? You know, how is this going? You know, how is he tracking towards, you know, middle school ball, high school ball? What are his goals? Regardless of knowing his background, we have a common subject matter that we can always circle back to. And once you circle back to a common subject, you kind of bridge that gap in regards to, you know, creating a sense of comfort. And a sense of comfort creates trust, and trust creates influence. Mm. And influence is, you know, sky's the limit from there.
Well said, man. I remember one of the practical tips of advice that you gave me was just to, like you just said right there, just get to know one thing about each person. And you can always circle that back. And I remember from before I started doing that to after, it's a world of difference, right? People are, when they see you, they're smiling versus, you know, if you don't know them and you're not, and you're just another number to them, or that's how they perceive you, then, you know, every day they're coming in, they don't like coming to work. They're just here because they're, you know, they're getting their paycheck, that kind of thing. But all it takes is that little investment of time, right? And as a manager, you know, bringing it back to life with the brother man, what we have to do is make sure that we are investing our limited time where we're going to get the best returns, right? And so understanding that as a manager, you have a team of 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever it may be, people, right? If you can get your team to buy into your vision, then you can, you know, you don't have to go burn yourself out every single day trying to, you know, hustle all that stuff. Your team will execute your vision for you, right? If you invest that time into them. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't know why I'm even talking at this point. You already covered everything. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I know we really definitely veered off the main subject a little bit, which was feedback loops, but I think it's been beneficial. At least I definitely benefited from the session. So thank you for joining, Jeremy. A lot of people have been asking, was Jeremy a guest? And Jeremy is actually a co-host, but the role he plays is kind of like a guest because he's the one that I'm asking questions to, right? So a lot of these conversations that we're having, we've already had in some form in the past. And so what we're doing is really just recording these down, making sure that it's not just me that benefits, right? It's available to anyone that's trying to grow as a leader, frontline leader in particular, but any leader in general, right? As Jeremy said, people are people, right? So even if you're not in operations, you're not working with frontline people, frontline workers, even if you're in middle management, or I would say even upper level management, right? People are people, right? So I think the lessons here, the goal for this podcast is to really be applicable to all levels of management, leadership. And we really want to share the experiences that we've had. Just to recap a couple things. I don't think I can recap, man. You want to try?
It would be a lot in a nutshell, but a key takeaway,
let's do that. Let's do like, what are your key takeaways? And then I'll share what are my key takeaways that I walked away with this episode.
That's fair. I just encourage everybody to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I say that to say, because, you know, when we talk about growth, when we talk about not limiting yourself in regards to future growth, inevitably, as far as being able to, I want to make sure I word this correctly, man. You know, when we talk about shying away from things, you know, things that we're uncomfortable with, it's out of our comfort zone, naturally we're more inclined to gain courage from our fears, right? You know, once you have experience in something, so fear is like something that we don't understand, or a level of unknown. I encourage everybody to venture into something they would not normally do, in a positive way, of course. I encourage everybody to...
It's a good clarification.
Disclaimer. Jeremy did not say that. I encourage everybody to challenge themselves to step out of their comfort zone for the greater being and gain courage from your prior fears, and use that to propel your career. Use that to propel future relationships, friendships, and your daily cadence. Just try to incorporate ways to stimulate growth. I think that's priceless. And a lot of times we don't shed light on opportunities to step up to the plate, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Here's a couple of key takeaways that I got, right? I think the first thing that really hit me in this episode or this session, whatever we want to call it, is we have to change the definition that we have for success. And that is changing it from the number of cars, whatever, how many dollars you made or whatever it may be, however you're looking at success in a material sense, and change that perspective to how many people have you helped, right? Or who have you been able to influence in a positive way, right? And I think having that mindset shift is going to change your entire life. And I think if you walk away with this episode with one thing, and you just walk away with those two things, sorry, if you walk away with this episode with two things, and we just leave it at those two things, I think, and you actually apply those two things in a year, 2 years, 3 years, your career is made. You know what I mean? Like, I genuinely believe if you can just shift your perspective into those things, you're set, right? But I'll add a couple more things just because we covered so much, you know what I mean? So one of the things that really hit me was your professor, right? Being true to yourself and understanding who you are. And can you say the little speech he would do before his test again?
Yeah, for sure. I recall it like it was yesterday. So he would hand out his test, and every time prior to taking a testament, he would say, today you're taking two tests. One is on anatomy. The second is on integrity. And if you are to fail one of these exams, I pray that it's anatomy. Mm. Mm. That was huge, man.
That hits deep. And then, wow. Like, this was a jam-packed episode, man. Like, I might be, I mean, let's put this out and let's see the feedback we get. But I really had a good discussion. Like, I walked away with a lot from this. And then the last thing that I'm going to leave the audience with on my end is connecting with people is the root, is the essence, is the secret formula to effective feedback. Right. And if you want to change behaviors, you have to first connect with people and earn their trust. Right. The rest is easy. Anything you want to add
kind
to
of, that? And not to cut you off, but that kind of circles back to wise words of wisdom that was relayed to me that I kind of hold true. And I know I've told you this, you know, several times when you talk about, you know, behaviors, you know, naturally in any leadership role, we often get it confused as a, potentially, I'm not gonna put everybody in a box, but we potentially get it confused with how we approach people or how we approach a situation. When we talk about managing people, we don't manage people, we manage behaviors.
Oh.
And once you manage behaviors,
oh my goodness,
the power of people and influence comes with it. And that kind of knocks down a lot of barriers, a lot of walls, because your approach is completely different. You're not catering your message to people, you're catering your message to the behaviors that influence you to relay the information. Mm.
That's one of the things that Jeremy said on the first day that we started at the company that we're currently at. We were onboarding together, and he said that to me, and from that moment, I knew he was a brother man. He just randomly dropped it, like, you know, Ahmed, as managers, we're not actually managing people, we're managing behaviors. I was like, what? What are you talking about? And then it hit me.
But I said, one day it'll make sense.
Today's that day, 2 years later. Today's the day.
Never too late.
I think that comes back to the other point that we made, is that make sure that you're divorcing the behavior from the person when you're giving that feedback, right? That's you're not attacking that person. You just want to change the behavior. You just want to change the perception, right? So the perception I have of you, Jeremy, is that people are saying you're a little bit stinky. I haven't experienced that myself, but that's the perception that the people around you have. And how can you change that? How can you change that perception is by changing a behavior, and that is wearing deodorant, right? We want to get someone to not stink so bad. So the behavior that we're going to change is him, change him not wearing deodorant to wearing deodorant, right? So those couple of things, I think we covered so much. I think we could probably split this up into like four different podcasts. And I think we'd have enough content for each of them if we wanted to dive in. But the last thing I want to say is that the plan for this podcast is this. We're going to post this on YouTube and also on the podcast apps. The ask from you guys that are listening, all 2.5 of you guys, is that on YouTube or wherever you're listening, I don't know how these other podcast apps work, to be honest. I just listen on there. But on YouTube, if you can comment your feedback, like, share. If it's good, like, share, subscribe. If it's bad, give us feedback privately, or you can even comment there, you know, whatever floats your boat. We want you guys to be a part of this journey. We want to get better. We want this podcast to be something that actually benefits people. And the ask is that you give us feedback so that we can make sure we're practicing what we're preaching, right? So we're talking about feedback, right? If we don't get feedback from you guys, we don't improve, then we're not walking the walk, right? So we're going to post this on YouTube. Make sure you guys like, share, comment, subscribe, the whole shebang, and hold us to actually posting regularly. Because the toughest part, me and Jeremy used to work together and we had the same exact schedule. And at that time we recorded exactly zero podcasts. Now we have completely opposite schedules. And the toughest part is really just getting us together in the same room. And so if you're actually listening, make sure you guys hold us to actually recording every week and make sure that we're actually posting regularly. Because if you guys don't hold us accountable, it's not going to happen. Anything else, Jeremy?
No, I'm all for it. I'm excited about the growth. I'm excited about the journey. And I'm excited about being receptive, first and foremost, to, as you mentioned, in regards to feedback, for sure. You know, put it out there. No secrets. Just let's grow together.
Absolutely. And the last thing I wanted to say, and I love doing this kind of thing, especially when things go long like this, is that if you are still listening, thank you. Thank you so much for sticking out the way. I appreciate you, Jeremy. I'm sure you appreciate them as well. It means a lot that you took out this much time of your day to just listen to this podcast. And we hope that you walked away with something. And if you didn't, please provide feedbacks on what we can do better so we can not waste this hour, half hour, however long this podcast ends up being. But thank you again. If you made it all the way this far, it really means, it means the world, right? With all the different podcasts out there. I have like 4 or 5 different friends that just started their podcast. So there's a lot of content out there. And for you to spend this much time on this podcast, it's not something small, and it's not lost on us how important that is. So thank you. What is going on, everyone? This is Ahmed Chima from the future. I'm recording this after the fact because I wanted to make sure I got this as part of the episode. Last night after we recorded, I could not stop thinking about one thing, and that was, how does the story of the homeless man fit into our theme of feedback? And today it hit me. And that is that if we are being receptive to feedback, we have to realize that feedback is not just going to come in the form of someone telling us exactly what we need to do, right? We are getting feedback constantly from all different parts of our lives. When we interact with our family members, the way they react to what we're saying, that's feedback for us. And part of being receptive is having that ability to understand and be open to what the other person is telling us without actually saying it explicitly. If we can do that, then we come back and then we're back on the feedback loops, right? So every single thing, every experience we have in our day is a feedback loop, and we can take that and use that to be better people. As Jeremy mentioned at the beginning of the episode, or towards the beginning of the episode, is that each day we should be growing. Yesterday should not be better than today, because that means we're making progress in the wrong way. Every single day should be better than the last, right? So just wanted to make sure that I got that in there. It was bugging me because the title of the episode is Feedback Loops, and I just couldn't figure out how this story relates. And in this case, Jeremy got feedback from a homeless man that his perception or how he understood homeless people was completely wrong. And because of that, he was able to change his own perception, and hopefully that will result in him changing his behavior towards homeless people in the future. So back to the podcast from yesterday.
As a man, just mentioned, it's genuinely appreciated. And again, let's walk this walk together. Let's grow together. Let's build together. And let's navigate, you know, our future together.